when he was going to go into Jerusalem for the first Palm Sunday, he told his disciples, go over into the town next here, and you're going to find a donkey tied up. And then he said these words, loose him and bring him to me. And if anybody says, what are you doing? You say, the Lord has need of him. If Jesus had a plan and a purpose for a donkey, where does that leave you and me? Come on, everybody.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we are continuing the message, Loose Him. This is chapter 3 on the series called Resurrection of Lazarus. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more.
One of the powerful truths found in John's account of the resurrection of Lazarus is that while he was resurrected, Lazarus was still bound by his old grave clothes. What many Christians fail to understand is that once we are resurrected into new life in Jesus Christ, we still need to shed some old grave clothes, old ways of thinking and doing that still hinder us. That's where the renewal of our minds comes in. I can't wait to share this powerful word with you, so let's get right to it as I share part 2 of the message, Loose Him.
If God hadn't come knocking on the door of our heart and the Holy Ghost convicted us of sin, we would have remained dead in our sins, and we would have died one day in our sins. But thank God, one day you were walking around, I was walking around, God sent somebody, some message, some speaker, and we heard the gospel, and when we did, the Holy Ghost convicted us, and when we said, Jesus, come into my life, he made us alive in Christ, and for the first time in our life, we were alive, really alive with the life of God. But we were also, just like Lazarus, not only dead and helpless, but we were in a dark place where no light penetrated. The Bible says that Jesus called you out of darkness. He didn't call you out of dimness. He didn't call you out of low light. He didn't call you out of semi-light. He called you out of total, complete darkness. And folks, there is no darkness like spiritual darkness. There is no darkness like spiritual blindness. And it says that we were in a dark place. The Bible says Jesus called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He spoke into the tomb and called Lazarus out of the darkness of that tomb. He spoke into the tomb of our sin and called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is a physical picture of a spiritual truth that happens with everybody who calls on the name of the Lord. The voice of Jesus penetrates into our life and he calls us out of darkness into his marvelous, say it, light. So as Lazarus was called out of darkness into the light of day, we were called out of spiritual darkness into the light of God's love. And right now, if you're a child of God, you are not in the dark, but you are in the light. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise for that? Amen. Now I want you to imagine that for a moment that you're Lazarus. Just imagine for a moment. Use your sanctified imagination. Think about you being Lazarus. And you've been dead 4 days. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what he saw, where he went, what happened to him, what stories he had to tell when he came back. But we know that when he died, he went somewhere. Now, he didn't go to hell. We know that for sure. But he went into the eternal world. We were never told what he saw, what he heard. But we do know this. Suddenly, the voice. Everybody say the voice, because there isn't any voice like Jesus' voice. Amen? Suddenly, the voice. He hears a voice. Wherever he was in the spirit world, he heard the voice of Jesus call him. Lazarus, by name. He knows your name when he calls you out. He knows your address. He knows your age. He knows your DNA, your personality. He knows you well, and he calls you out by name. But when he suddenly comes back to life, folks, put yourself in his grave clothes. He hears the voice, and suddenly he's back. He's breathing. But guess what? He's in total darkness. He's in a tomb. There's no light. There's nobody in there. It's lonely. He surely had to gather his wits about him for a moment there. He's back to life. And he realizes suddenly, not only can I not see, but I can't move. My hands are bound. My feet are bound. My jaw is bound. I can't cry out for somebody to come get me because I'm bound. And so he had to struggle to somehow get on his feet so he could hop. Just like so many of us who are called out of deep sin, we've got to learn. We've got to struggle to stand and get somewhere. We've got to struggle to get on our feet. If you've been called out of deep sin into his marvelous light, there's often a struggle, just like Lazarus had to struggle to come out of that cave, out of that tomb. We have to struggle. We struggle to stand on our feet after being so long in sin. We struggle to walk right. We struggle to get near Jesus. So listen, what he had to do is what you and I have to do. He had to move towards the voice he trusted. Oh, man, he had to move. Now, all he knew was this. He had heard Jesus, Lazarus, come out of there. And so he gets up. Somehow he struggles to his feet, and he starts hopping, waddling towards the mouth of that tomb. And what can he do? He's only moving towards the voice that he trusted. And I'm going to tell you something. That's me. When I got saved in juvenile home, I didn't hardly trust anybody. It was hard for me to trust anybody. But when I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, I knew. A voice spoke to me from the preacher's voice. There was a voice within the voice, and the voice within the voice said to me, "You can trust me. You can lay your life in my hands. I'm here to save you. I love you unconditionally. I'm not going to burn you. I'm not going to walk out on you. I'm not going to betray you. I'm not going to stick you. I'm not going to stab you." And all I knew to do was sort of hop towards the voice that I trusted. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." So let me just give you a word before I get into the meat of this message today. If you've been burned by people, if you've been betrayed, gossiped on, walked out on, and it's hard for you to trust, can I tell you that you can trust the voice of the one who is calling you out of darkness into his marvelous light? You can trust that voice. You can trust that voice. Now, just like Lazarus, when we come out, now follow this because this is truth. Some of you have been wondering about the very thing that I'm going to talk to you about today. Just like Lazarus, when we walk out of death into life, out of dark into light, out of blind into sight, out of hellbound into heavenbound, when we walk out and come to him, we're still wrapped in some of the grave clothes of our former life. Now follow me. Let me give you some examples. For instance, many of us are still wrapped up in the things we've learned to fear. And we need those grave clothes removed. We have been resurrected, but we're still afraid of this and that and the other things that we have learned to fear in our former dead life. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12:2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed." How? How does transformation come? By the renewing of your mind. That means erasing old thought patterns and replacing them with new thought patterns. That means erasing lies and replacing them with truth. That means erasing negatives and replacing them with positives. That means erasing devil thinking and world thinking and replacing it with godly thinking and Bible thinking. We've got to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, or we will never be changed. That's the grave clothes. Some of us are still clothed in things that we have believed about ourselves, negative stuff that didn't come from God, lies that came from the devil. We believe certain things about ourselves. Once we're resurrected, we still believe certain things about ourselves. We've got a self-image. We've got a negative self-image. We don't think we can do anything. Maybe we were told negative things about ourselves, or we just began to view ourselves a certain way that was very defeating. We don't believe we're any good. We don't believe we have any promise. We don't believe God can use somebody like us. We don't believe we're likable or lovable. We believe these things. The world gave us these things. The world put those grave clothes on us. But when he calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light, there's a word over you, and it is loose him and let him go free. Take off those grave clothes And you know, some of us still drag around the negative things that others told us about ourselves. And when they told us these things about ourselves, we began to believe them. And what they really did, they put on those grave clothes that came from our former life of sin and darkness in the world. The grave clothes. We had somebody say, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're not pretty, you're not handsome, you're not attractive, you're not lovable, you're not likable, you're not gifted, you're kind of dull. In other words, God made a mistake. If God was involved with you at all, you're not worth time. You're not worth love. These are things that people say over us. It could have been a teacher. It could have been a principal. It could have been a parent. But they spoke something over you, and it wrapped itself around you, and it bound your hands and bound your feet and bound your mouth so that you were not free to do and be what God's called you to do and be. And Jesus says, loose him, loose him, loose him, loose him. Take those grave clothes off. I've got something new for you. And if you're going to do what I've got for you, you've got to be free from that old stuff. Come on, everybody. This is absolutely true. Like Lazarus couldn't move when he came out of there. Born again, blood bought, children of God. Who have been raised from the spiritual dead, who are going straight to heaven when they die, still have grave clothes wrapped around them. We're hopping when we ought to be walking. We're mute when we ought to be shouting God's praise. There are still some things that need to be done to set us free. Notice it was his mouth that was bound so that he could not talk. His feet were bound so that he could not walk. His hands were bound so that he couldn't work, so that he couldn't clap, so he couldn't lift his hands to God in praise. He was resurrected, but he was still bound, speech bound, feet bound, hands bound. Though raised from the dead, he still needed to be set free from these carryovers from his time in the tomb. What's still got a grip on you? See, let me just talk about each of the mouth, hands, feet, because these are all key. The Bible is amazing to me. The Bible is amazing to me. It doesn't waste a word because the Bible makes it clear that we understand his mouth was bound. He couldn't talk. Feet bound, he couldn't walk. Hands bound, he could not work. He couldn't work, he couldn't praise, he couldn't clap, he couldn't function. So let's take them one at a time. He was resurrected from the dead, but he couldn't testify with a bound mouth. This was a resurrected man, but he couldn't testify because his mouth was bound. And some of you still might be bound in the same way. Your tongue hasn't been loosed to testify of what he's done for you. When you get the opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus, you freeze all up because you've still got the grave clothes of pride or intimidation or fear wrapped around you, so you don't talk the way God wants you to talk. But can I tell you, as the devil had your tongue, God wants your tongue. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. You know, when I got saved, I had no positive self-image of myself at all. None. And one of the big fears I had was talking in front of people. I know that's hard for you to believe because that's all you ever see me do is talking in front of people. But I want you to know I was a resurrected young man. I was raised from the dead. God touched me in jail. I was saved in jail. I heard the gospel. I heard the voice of Jesus speak down into my tomb. And I heard him say, come out, Jeff. And I believed the gospel and I came out and I was resurrected. But then he began to call me to preach, me of all people, began to call me to preach, and it was freaking me out because I had this fear of standing up in front of people. You want to know how bad it was? It was bad. Three or more people, I froze up. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I fretted. I chewed my nails. I dreaded the moment when I was going to have to get up and speak in front of people. And isn't that amazing? Because that's what he called me to do for my whole life. So there were grave clothes wrapped around me. You know why I was so afraid to speak in front of people? Because I was in a play as a sixth grader where I was a knight in cardboard armor. And I was supposed to walk out at a certain time when the whole class full of my peers, and I was supposed to walk into the classroom in this cardboard armor and deliver these powerful lines. And when I walked in there in that cardboard armor and I saw all of them looking at me, I went completely and totally blank. I couldn't think of what my name was, much less the lines. And I stood there. And they started snickering and they started laughing. And inside I was dying a thousand deaths. I was so glad I had a helmet on that covered my face. But finally the teacher said, "That's okay, Jeff. You can go back out in the hall." And the same way I came in, I went back out. And all the way out, I said to myself, "Never again will I ever speak in front of people." You know, sometimes you make an inner vow you should never make. Sometimes you make an inner vow. I'll never love again. I'll never be transparent again. I'll never marry again. I'll never trust again. Come on, everybody, I'm talking to you. We make inner vows. We make inner vows that bind us. We make those inner vows and they become the grave clothes that we still carry around after we're resurrected. And I realized that I made a vow that was not of God, because God had called me to stand in front of people and deliver his word. So I had to get set free. And you know what? I heard Jesus say, "Loose him and let him go." And I went from being really afraid to, "Man, give me the biggest crowd you can find." Now I am hooked on it. And what was my weakness is now my strength, because he set me free. Come on, church. He wants to set you free. He wants to set you free. His mouth was bound. Still others of you haven't been set free to praise God by clapping or raising your hands. You go into analysis paralysis when it's time to praise God. You go, "Well, that's just not me. I just don't think that's me. That's not my personality." But listen, I went through the same thing. First time I walked into a meeting and there was a bunch of guys lifting their hands and clapping, I thought they were so strange and weird. But the problem was, I was intimidated. I was afraid. I was bound up. Not only did he loose my tongue to declare his word, he loosed my hands to praise him, to clap to him, to praise him, to worship him. I found out that your hands, here's the way I started. I started out here. And here's everybody worshiping, God, tears coming down their face, but I was God's frozen chosen, let me tell you. And I stood there like this. But then I started thinking, "Well, nobody's looking, I'm gonna try it." So I got my hands up half-mast. Some of you are at half-mast right now. Some of you are at semi-half-mast. You get one hand up, you keep the other one down, as if something's gonna happen to you, like lightning's gonna strike you. Well, no, not lightning, but maybe the power of God, if you loose your fear and loose your intimidation. So I was at half-mast with one hand, and then I realized, well, nothing bad happened, so I went half-mast with the other one. And then I remember the night I decided, okay, here goes. I'm going all the way with this thing. I'm going to find out why they like it so much. And so during the worship and praise, I lifted my hands all the way up. And I remember how free I got. It was like I put up a lightning rod, and the power of God touched me. See, I was no longer intimidated, afraid of what people think. Who cares what people think? You're not going to know them next year. They're sure not going to be in heaven or standing at the judgment seat of Christ with you. Do what God tells you. Don't care what they think. They may be waiting for you to do it, so they'll do it. So I got my tongue set free. I got my hands set free. But look, Lazarus couldn't walk either. Our feet illustrate the path we take in life. It's our lifestyle, the direction we seek spiritually, the direction we take spiritually. Jesus said there's only two ways you can go. You can go down the narrow road that leads to life. That's the pathway. Or you can take the broad road that leads to destruction. That's a pathway. But your feet represent where you're going in life. What are you pursuing? What are you chasing? What has your heart? Because whatever has your heart has your feet. Because wherever your heart is, your feet are going to follow. So his Lazarus, he couldn't walk. He could only hop. He could waddle, but he couldn't walk. And he wanted to walk. He couldn't walk towards Jesus to thank him because he couldn't walk. He had to be set free. So Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." And maybe you've got some old grave clothes habits. Have you bound? And you want to walk this way, but because of the habit, you keep going this way. And he wants you to go this way, but because of the habit, you keep going this way. That grave clothes, you're saved, you're a child of God, but you're still wrapped up in that. And you know that God's saying, go this way fully. And you start to, but then that habit comes and you're back this way. Let me tell you something. As Jesus said, loose him and let him go. He's speaking that over you today. Loose him, loose her. And let him go, let her go. When Jesus says, loose him, loose her, there isn't anything that can keep you bound. When he says, loose over your life, be loose, be set free. The Bible says, make straight paths for your feet. Make straight paths for your feet. Jesus saw Lazarus's, he saw it. He saw the problem. He immediately saw, here's my resurrected man, but his mouth is bound, his hands are bound, his feet are bound. So Jesus, immediately sizing up the problem, said, no, I want you to let him go free. Now I want to go straight, let me cut straight to the chase here today. Jesus didn't set Lazarus free so he could go do his own thing. No. He set him free because he had a purpose in mind. Jesus never touches you or me without a purpose in mind. He's got a purpose in mind. He's got a plan, and that's why he touched you. There is a plan, and it involves more than heaven. It's here and now on this planet, on this earth. There is a plan over your life. There is a call over your life. There is an intent over your life. There is a design and a destiny over your life. He didn't just save you so you could say, well, I'm saved. He saved you for a purpose. He even did it with a donkey. When he was going to go into Jerusalem for the first Palm Sunday, he told his disciples, go over to the town next here, and you're going to find a donkey tied up. And then he said these words, loose him and bring him to me. And if anybody says, what are you doing? You say, the Lord has need of him. If Jesus had a plan and a purpose for a donkey, where does that leave you and me? Come on, everybody. The Bible says a few days later, Jesus was in Bethany, and a great many of the Jews had gathered together, and look what it says, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also, say it with me, see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. You know, people have a curiosity about people who have been spiritually transformed, delivered, changed, and set free that they can't deny. They said, we're here to see Jesus. Yeah, we've heard all about Jesus, but we got to see this guy that was raised from the dead. Can I tell you, that's the way people look at you. They say, well, I've been hearing, you're telling me that that person that used to be out partying all the time and living in sin and doing this and that and the other, you're telling me they're going to church now? You're telling me that they've been changed? What are you talking about? I got to see this. I still got people looking me up saying, I got to see what I've heard. And I've been in this thing since I was a late teenager. And being 40 now, that's a long time. Little joke there, little levity. It's 42. No, I'm just kidding. But see, people want to see what you say you saw. People want to see people who have been raised from the dead. People want to see people who have met Jesus. They're curious about how did it happen. You know, so here's Lazarus. Why did Jesus pull him out of the grave? He had a purpose for him. Lazarus would testify before Jesus was crucified and buried that Jesus was the resurrection and the life. He was his witness. And you are his witness. If you've been raised from the spiritual dead, raise your hand. All right, say with me, I've got a testimony. You don't have to be brilliant. You don't have to be a theologian. You just have to have been delivered by Jesus. If you've been delivered by Jesus, you've got a testimony. Let's stand to our feet and give God praise today. Can't we come on?
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. We are so glad to have you here with us today. Before you touch that dial, we would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Every time God uses the ministry of Life Talk to transform a life by the power of Jesus Christ, it's because somebody like you gave financially and helped make it possible. Life Talk's daily program is listener supported. So if you're interested in supporting this ministry, call us toll free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. And there you can make a donation to empower Life Talk to continue transforming lives with the power of the gospel. Once again, visit us online at lifetalkradio.us or call us toll-free at 877-884-3111 and give your best gift today. Coming up on Life Talk.
Simon Peter, he didn't have money on him, but he had something way better than money. He had faith that this man could walk, and this man who had been born crippled stood up and began to walk and leap and praise God, because what Peter had, he could give. So he brings people into our lives who have something from God that we need, and they help us get free.
That's next in a brand new message we're calling The Ministry of Loosing, in this life-changing series titled Resurrection of Lazarus. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until next time, God bless.